going to expand our horizons today. We're going to get back to a little bit of National Hockey League regular season talk. The general manager of the Toronto Maple Leafs, Brad Treliving, is going to pop on this bonus episode, John.
Another bonus episode? That's two in 2 weeks.
I know.
Unbelievable.
When does a bonus episode just become part of the regular schedule?
When they decide to go 5 days a week.
Okay. Are we approaching that?
Which is never, never.
Okay. Because you don't want to work that much, right?
That's a lot of work.
Yeah. And I'm a pretty busy guy, going to be honest with you. And I don't know whether our audience could handle the two of us.
You're a little busy guy, pretty busy, but you have time to send me videos of you and your hockey equipment in the Henderson Knights dressing room.
Yeah. I was pretty happy with that. I was just
You were sitting there with all your friends, huh?
Yeah. All by myself, just having the greatest time. That is my favorite part.
Did you go to the hot tub or the cold tub after? Or what'd you do?
No. I got out of there as quickly as possible. That's what I do all the time. I'm in and I'm out. I don't bother people except for you and Hugh.
I got to admit, you do a good job of that.
Thank you. I strive when I have a job to do, I do intend to put all of it into it and try to succeed. So we've got, it's interesting, this Four Nations Face-Off consumes us, and we have 1 day between the final and the return to the National Hockey League schedule. We're right on the cusp of that, with teams returning to their facilities today and practices resuming.
And I wonder how long it will take for hockey fans across the continent to re-engage with the NHL. The TV numbers in both countries are reflecting there's a lot of interest in the Four Nations Face-Off. They like the intensity of the games. Obviously, Canada-USA and the championship game on Thursday is important to that. But when you go back to the realization that you are now a fan again of the Pittsburgh Penguins or the St. Louis Blues or the Calgary Flames, how invested do you get quickly in what is going on with your team? You might need a break.
I think it's immediate. I would think that there's just a natural, like, let's go.
I wonder, and I don't remember after 2002 and after 2010, how long it took us to really get back into the swing of things with, those were really and 2014, I guess, the last time we had mid-season tournaments and then going back to the regular season. But we got there. I mean, and obviously we had some pretty good hockey down the stretch in those 3 years, and we've had pretty good hockey and down the stretch in the last few years because the playoffs are so tight and the races are so tight. But it's going to be interesting after Thursday night's game how quickly fans return to the game.
There's several rivalry games on that first night back, and that's highlighted by Sid against Ovi. I wonder if that was a conscious thing by the National Hockey League to try to hedge their bet. If it goes over, great. We've got something to continue the momentum, the Four Nations Cup or Four Nations Face-Off. Hey, continue that momentum. Or if it didn't go over great, we've got these rivalry games to give you.
Well, I think a lot of it has to do probably with also what the expectations of the networks are on Saturday as well, because and we've seen it in recent weeks that ABC is back in the fold, carrying even double headers on Saturdays and potentially Sundays. TNT's schedule's always been pretty good. And then on a regular Saturday in Canada, Hockey Night in Canada has 4 or 5 games at any rate. So I think it's part of it. I mean, let's face it, the schedule maker, Steve Hatzepetros, does an outstanding job for this league. He's worked hard at it. He understands what works at what time of year it works. Hopefully in the month of March, we see a lot more games within the division to keep people interested in the races in those divisions, or at least in the conferences. It'll be difficult if you have a East versus West conference game at some point because the points are so important. But it's going to be fascinating. I did a little thing about if the playoffs started today, and right now there's some fascinating matchups to start when you think about it. But the one thing that's for sure, death taxes in Tampa versus Toronto. So that's that always happens. And we're going to, at this point, if the playoffs started today, we'd see that one again.
Yeah, don't count out an opportunity for Boston, too, if things went the right way for Toronto and Boston. if the Maple Leafs would finish first.
Boston needs to get on his horse to get back in the playoffs. That's
they
the
do, and Toronto's within reach of a division title there. We've got Brad Treliving coming up in just a minute. But first, one more comment on the Four Nations face-off.
Okay.
The final Canada-USA. I have enjoyed the event. I am admittedly surprised at how many players are calling this the biggest game of their careers. And these are guys that have played for Stanley Cups.
Yes, but when you put your flag on your sleeve, when you put your country on your sweater as opposed to a team, things change. And it also does speak, and a lot of people have mentioned this, when this is the first time in 9 years that we've seen this for this level. And I think it's so cool that it's happened. The other phrase I'm going to use with you, Darren, is recency bias. Because we said this in 2002 in Salt Lake. We said it in 96 when USA and Canada played in that best of three for the World Cup. We said it in 2002 when Canada won its Olympic gold medal for the first time in 50 years. We said it in 2010 with that great game in Vancouver at the Olympics. We didn't say it in 14 because it was a different style of tournament than I think. And the end, it ended up being Canada versus Sweden. But it really speaks to me to how much the game has needed international competition. And finally, that all the sides involved, the Players Association, the league, hopefully the IIHF and certainly the IOC are on the same page that we can see some continuity with having professionals play international hockey more as opposed to sporadically, because unfortunately the last 8 or 9 years has been sporadic, to say the least.
There will be a trophy handed out, but it's more about pride.
I was told originally there wasn't a trophy, but I think there was a lot of pressure that they had to have a trophy. But I wonder if they did what I did and went to the in order to the flea market next door and found a trophy and just put Four Nations face off on it.
That was like an episode 2 or 3 that you showed up with that trophy. That was pretty cool.
I'll show it one day again. Maybe
you
Friday.
Give it to me.
Maybe Friday. No, I'm not. It's no. Oh, it's not,
I'd like
not
it.
For you.
Let's do a presentation. Oh, Brad's there. We'll come back. Brad Treliving is standing by, the general manager of the Toronto Maple Leafs on 100% Hockey with Millard and Shannon. This is my first question that I had. So, John, just take a back seat. I got a hard-hitting one for Brad Treliving. As a general manager, what do you do during this Four Nations break? Everybody else is going down south. You don't want to be near any players or coaches. What do you do?
Well, we finished off out in Vancouver. So I got my wife and youngest are still in Calgary. So I went and saw them for a few days. We got a couple of kids playing out west, prospects. So I went and saw them. And then we took a couple of days with the family. We went down south for a couple of days and then, got back in Toronto just in time to get to hit all the snowstorms and spend a couple of days around our American League team here. So, and then obviously watching the games as they're happening here. So it's been terrific hockey. And it goes by quick, a little bit of time to unplug, but there's always something to keep you busy.
What do you make of the tournament?
Well, I think it's fantastic hockey. We were talking about it the other day. It's hard to stand out. It's hard to stand out because you've got the collection of, the best players that are available to play, right? Obviously we know there's lots of stars that weren't involved in the tournament. But I think it's been terrific hockey. And you know, the thing that really, you know, the skill level, you've got all the, you got some of the best, if not the best skilled players all on one sheet. And when you look at the games, John, the thing that's really stood out to me is you've got all these offensive stars, and you know, when it really matters the most, you see how they play. I mean, this isn't fire wagon hockey. It's not trading chances. It's, I don't know. I mean, the Canada-US game, what were the shots? 24, 20, 26, 24, 24, 22.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The checking, the way these guys, you can see how much it means to them, the way they're checking. You know, the way there's no room, there's no space. It's fast, but you've got everybody bought in to do it right. And to me, that's a reflection of what it means to them. So I think it's been an outstanding event.
Is there a way to bottle that and take it back to the club team?
Well, I don't know, Darren, like it's, I mean, everybody, listen, that's the goal, right? Is, you know, I think everybody, especially when the games mean so much, you hear all the, you know, all the cliche lines, right. Of, you know, getting pucks out, getting pucks in, playing behind people and, you know, tracking and, you know, it's all checky, like, but that's how everybody wants to play, especially when it's, and that's how the game is played when it means the most. In this, you've just got a collection of, you've got the stars of the league doing it, right? And, you know, you, as a manager, you watch it sort of with two hats. Your first hat is you just want to make sure everybody gets through it okay and healthy and all that stuff. And then you can't help but be a fan. Like, we're all fans. And you marvel at, you know, the speed and, you know, like I said, just, you know, like that game the other night, the U.S. game, you know, it's a coin flip, right? That's like a lot of these games. It's a chance here. It's a breakdown there. But I was, you know, two good teams going at it. I was really impressed how the U.S. defended the league. You know, they had a 2-1 lead going into the third. And like I said, you saw guys, you know, there wasn't a lot of risk. Yeah, they were still trying to make plays, but everything got out. Everything got behind the defense. You know, there was no outnumbered rushes. They just, you know, they made it really hard. And that's hard. That's hard. And when you got players at that level of talent doing it, it's, you know, it made it hard on Canada to come back. And then I thought Canada replicated that against the Finns, you know, the way they played, and you know, the Finns made it a little interesting down the stretch, but no, it's been terrific to watch.
So you William Nylander finished yesterday. He obviously gets a few days to get rested and return to the club. Austin and Mitch will be back on Friday. Do you expect them to play Saturday?
Yeah, that's our expectation. And it's a quick, you knew that going in. You know, your anticipation was, I think everybody anticipated it was going to be a, you know, nothing against any of the other countries. You anticipated, at least for us, you anticipated you're going to have probably at least one guy in the final, right? And most likely two, depending on who got there. But, you know, hopefully between, you know, they've got a couple of days here between the last game and and Thursday's game. And yeah, it's a quick turnaround, you know, and we're like everybody else. It's going to be a dogfight to the end, and everything's going to be compacted. So we start with a back-to-back Saturday, Sunday. Right. But yeah.
I'm curious, Austin didn't play against the Swedes. Would you have received a phone call, or would you just learn via the rest of us do when you look at the lineup?
No, I communicate with both Austin and Billy before the game there. So it was not, it was more than anything, it was the game in the grand scheme of thing, what really wasn't meaningful. And I think it was more rest related than anything else. And he was, you know, if it was any other game, he probably plays, he wanted to play. And I think they gave him the night there. So, we're not too concerned about anything.
Boy, you just heard an exhale from the GTA.
Yeah.
Hearing that good news.
Yeah, no, he'll be going on, Thursday when they go, and then back here Friday, and then we're up and going on Saturday.
What's the influence on each athlete that you look at, Mitch and your guys and Austin and William, what they can take from this tournament?
You know what, Darren, I think there's a lot. You know, the initial thing is just the level of play, right? So you're exposed to this, you're playing in these games that there's great meaning, right? Like there's great meaning. But it's just a level of play. I don't look at this as much as an international tournament. To me, this is an NHL tournament. Like this is that you're representing your country, and there's the weight that goes along with that, with the excitement, the pride, all those things, right? You pull on that jersey and it's really, really unique and special. And you know, we saw it on Saturday with the emotion in the game. So I think just being exposed to that level of play, it only helps you. But I also think being around all those players, right? We talked about that going there is, you know, have your eyes wide open. You're around, you know, not only just the greatest players, but you know, guys that have won cups and multiple cups and have had success for long periods of time. And I think part of this business, part of any good business, is you're stealing ideas and you're seeing what do the great ones do, and is there things that I can incorporate into my game, my preparation, my any of that stuff. So I think just being around that atmosphere is, you know, and being around, you know, so much success that players have had there, I think can only help you. And, you know, the one thing outside of being really talented players, obviously, I'm proud of how our guys, you know, they can be examples too, right? The way they work, the way they look after themselves, the time they put into their craft. But I think when you get the best of the best together, you always can learn something. So I think our guys will take away stuff from that.
So Brad, you verbalized that to your guys to have your eyes wide open going into this tournament.
Yeah, we talked about going into it, like go and enjoy it. Go in and you know, it's like for this era of player, right? Like you look at, you know, outside of World Junior, you know, there hasn't been these events for them, right, for so long. Like Austin played in the World Cup, right, with Team North America, and that was before he played an NHL game, right? So you look at so go in and enjoy the heck out of the experience, but you can always pick up something, right? Like that's you know, that's all part of it, is when you're around those players, you know, is there a little bit of the secret sauce that you can incorporate? And you know, they're really intelligent kids. They're young guys. And I think they've been around the you know, all the teams that they've been around, I think is going to serve them well moving forward.
You know, you talk about eyes wide open. If you look at Matthew's role on the American team, I don't think it changes very much from what his role is in Toronto. The same thing with William Nylander. His role with the Swedish team was comparable to what he does with your club. But Mitch Marner's role has changed drastic from what he does with your club. And this might be an eyes wide open session for Mitch, because now he's a role player on this club. And he's not, you know, the elite star that he plays for when he plays with the Maple Leafs. Is that fair?
I don't know if I would agree with that, John. Like, you know, I know they moved some lines around yesterday. You're talking about, again, these are all first or second line. Every one of them would be.
Yeah, I know.
They're all, you know, and I think it's not so much. I think it's always fit, right? Like you never know when you go to these events, and especially because we have, like, these teams haven't been together for so long, right? So the last time we had. I thought I read something the other day, like the last time there was a team kind of, was it only Drew Doughty and Sydney were on the team, right? So I think from Coop and the coaching staff's perspective, the management staff, and you do it on your own teams all the time. It sounds great it looks good on paper. Like, okay, let's put Bill, Fred, and Joe together. And it sounds good. But you got to go play. And you got to go, Cupola and the coaching staff will have watched and they'll learn. And you need to find players to complement each other. Like Mitch, I think, he scores one of the biggest goals in the tournament against Sweden, right? Like that's a huge goal. And on the biggest stage, he shone. And so they moved things around. I actually thought his game, I think he's been good all the game. Like he's making, little plays in tight, he's killing penalties. He's doing all the things that he does with us. And then I think it's just a matter of, as you go through these tournaments, you're trying to find where could there be chemistry. But I'm really like there. Mitch is a star, he's a star and he's on a team of stars right now, as is Austin. I think they've, as Willie, I think they've all acquitted themselves very well.
Yeah, no, I wasn't saying that in a negative sense.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that, there, he has a different view of a team now when you're not getting 19, 20 minutes, you're getting 13 and 14. And then you have to realize what your role is. And under his role on the Maple Leafs is vastly different what his role is with Canada.
Well, maybe in the last game, I think he was the leading ice time guy the first two or three games, 5-on-5. But you're right. I think you go to these tournaments too, and you're like everybody is, they, as I said earlier, right? There's probably not a lot of games that you see, a lot of these players saying, okay, I got to go chip a puck in and get in on a forecheck, or I've got to, chip a puck out, right? Like they're the best of the best, and you want to allow them to do what they do, right? They're stars. So I think everybody, when you get into this situation, you're like, okay, here's my piece of the pie here, and I'm going to do it the best I can. And that's what I think makes this, so unique, is you see these guys, there's a selflessness to it, that they're, and all of them, they're all relied to be the guy on their team, right? And now you see them being one of the guys, and that's for everybody on the team. So it's cool to watch.
Will you watch Thursday by yourself as a fan, or will you get a couple of guys together and make it an event and watch it as a fan, or do you watch it as a manager?
We haven't talked about it. We may get together. I'll definitely,
I'm open. I'm available. I'm around.
Yeah, I'll definitely be watching. No, I think it's going to be must-see TV. I'll definitely be watching. We'll probably get a few of the guys together here. Again, first and foremost, just let's get to the finish line with everybody, healthy. That's goal number one. But yeah, we all put our fan hat on. Like this is pretty cool. This is cool stuff. And what makes it cool is how much the players are invested. I think there was a little bit of question mark, right? That's the wrong word, question mark. It's a unique tournament, right? This isn't the Olympics.
They're playing for pride, Brad.
Yeah,
that's basically it. That's not it. World Cup. It's not the Olympics. It's pride.
And that's where I come back to it. It's almost like the truest essence of the game right now, where it's like, it's the closest thing to playing in the Stanley Cup play. Like, they're playing for a cup. These guys are playing for the pride of their countries. They've all dreamed of, everybody at this age watched the World Juniors growing up, watched the Olympics and watched the Golden Goal, and us old farts that watched, remember 72 and remember, 96 and 87, like all those, those are historic moments, right? Like those are historic moments. So I think there was always a little bit of question, okay, where does this tournament fit in? But I don't care if you call it the Four Nations, the whatever cup you want to call it, when you've got, at the end of the day now, when you've got Canada US, it could be for checkers. I think it's meaningful, and guys are going to be laying on the line, and that's what makes our sport special. So I think it's going to be awesome. So to answer it, I'm going to watch as a manager to make sure the guys are healthy, and then I'm going to enjoy the hell out of it.
Brad Treliving with us on 100% Hockey with Millard and Shannon. Good time to take a break, and we'll come back with the Maple Leafs side of things with Brad. So you did a little bit of work during the Four Nations break. You look at the playoff race, and you've had a chance. The standings haven't changed in a while. How do you like the where your team is situated going into this final stretch drive?
Well, I mean, you always think of where you could have grabbed a few more points, but you are where you are. I think we've dealt with a lot of adversity on the injury front. The first 50 odd games here. So I think by and large, listen, it's tight. Like you look at our division is tight. We knew it was going to be, you've got, again, the old cliches, there's no easy night. Like, you know, there in this division, I watched it from afar for years and years. And it was, you know, for a lot of times it was obviously Tampa was ruling the roost. You've got Florida, what they've done the last couple of years, Boston, Toronto. It was those sort of four, and then there was a gap, right? Well, there is no gap now. There's, you know, those teams have been building for a long time, they're good teams. They're really good teams. So I think it's, with all the, you know, flux our lineup's been in throughout the year, and that's not an excuse. That's everybody goes through it. But I think we've been able to piece it together. We've lost some good players for large stretches of time. So we're excited to get our team back, hopefully, and get healthy, fully healthy here. And we know. So where do we like where we stand? Sure, but. You have a bad week and things can change in a hurry, and you have to win or else you drop, right? It seems like you win and you don't go anywhere, but if you lose two in a row, you fall out of the sky. So we know it's going to be competitive, the rest of the way here. I like our group. Like I said, hopefully we get them all back in one piece and we go from there.
How important is home ice?
You mean like home ice in the playoffs?
Yeah.
Well, if you got it, you say it's great. If you don't have it, you say it doesn't mean anything, right? If you got it, you say it's great. Oh,
okay, so you're 7 weeks away from knowing it, and you right now you have home ice, and you know, yeah. As you said, you lose two games in a row and people panic. Then how important is home ice?
Well, I mean, I guess. If you're alluded, we want to win it. We want to win every game that we can, right? We want to get in the playoffs. Number one, like that's the first step. Let's not get the cart before the horse. We got to get in. But yeah, you want to finish as high as you can. I do think at the end of the day, like, I don't know, like it's yeah. You want to finish as high as you can. Would you like to have home ice? Absolutely. Would you? You know, we played a game 7 last year in Boston and it was a tight game. We lost in overtime. Would you always like to have those game 7s at home? Sure. But number one, let's get in. Let's try to finish as high as we possibly can. That's your goal. The goal is to try to win the division. But I think nowadays more than ever, it's you get in and like there's no we're all old enough on this call to remember the days when it was like, you know, those first round 1 versus 8, you know, it was a massive upset if somebody knocked them out. Like it's the, you know, the margins are, they're razor thin. They really are. It's goaltending, it's health, it's special teams. It's, you know, sometimes the schedule, you're catching a team on a back-to-back of 3 and 4, you know, so there's all the, I say, you come into the games, a lot of the times it's 60-40, it's 55-45 going into a game. And then whose goalie is better that night? Whose power play is better? So, yeah, our goal is to try to, like I said, get in, get as high as we can get going, and then we'll go from there.
Are you more playoff ready as a team, as a roster than you've been in years past. And I say that because I've talked to a couple of players on different teams that have played your team this year, and they both told me that's not the same team we played last year. Do you know where I'm getting at with that question?
Yeah. I don't know. Darren, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. Like we certainly have tried to do some things in the summer, and you know, like we're like everybody right now. We've got a couple of weeks to the deadline. You're going to try to make your team better if you can find ways to do that. We felt going into the summer where we were at, we wanted to try to strengthen our defense, and our goaltending was the top priorities. You know, we want to try to get more depth up. We want to try to get more depth up front. We had certain, we were where we are cap wise.
Do you like your team more?
I like our team. I like where we're at right now. I do. I think Anthony Stolarz had just a great start to the season. And he was on the shelf for a couple of months. He came back, he played in Seattle, got a game in before the break. And Joe Wall has been real good for us all year. So I like the goaltending has been really good for us. You know, there's not many nights that we can come out and say we had the second best goalie tonight. I think our defense has improved. Now we want to, we want to tweak ourselves a little bit up front. We were hopeful that, Matthew Nyes could take a step. Bobby McMahon could take a step this year, which they have. Is there ways that we can help ourselves, between now and the deadline? We're going to try to do it, but I do like our group.
But when you say help your team, it's more than depth, right? You still have something to improve amongst your forwards. Is that fair?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's fair to say that, John. Probably won't get into all the specifics we'd like to try to do, but yeah, hey, we're not just trying to poke around the edges here, but if we can find some way to help ourselves, we're up front, even on the blue line. Like, I think we've got some depth there. But those are, certainly up front is an area we're looking at, and we'll see where it gets to.
How much conversation was there during this break between managers?
There was a little bit of talk early, and then I think everybody just sort of wanted to, take a couple of days, and things were slow. But you're always on the phone. At least my wife tells me that when we were away for a couple of days. So I thought it was slow, she thought. But no, it was, you can tell, you get it after a few days, everybody gets itchy again. And so you're constantly talking to guys and sort of seeing what's going on. It was a little unique break though, because you've got so many managers involved with the tournament. So they're wrapped up and, I think there was, it slowed down for a little bit, but then, you can tell everybody's back working here the last few days.
So you have two guys in your team, and Marner and Tavares have expiring contracts. At any point, is that going to become a distraction for you?
No, we addressed the beginning of the year of just, we'll continue to handle business behind the scenes. But our focus and I would say the credit first and foremost goes to the players. They've both had sensational seasons. Unfortunately John got banged up there for a bit, but they've been awesome for us. And as a group, our focus is on the season and playing as well as we can play and getting our team where we're striving. We'll leave for another day when there's news to announce. We'll announce it, but our focus right now, and I don't anticipate, John, that it's going to be a. Now, hey, we're in Toronto,
and, right?
You know, the team gets covered a little bit, as you know. And so you can't stop a story getting written, or that's life. That's not unlike any other. Listen, they're good players. Their contracts are expiring. I get it, it's news, but our guys have been pretty dialed into just worrying about the day to day and making sure, you know, the team's getting where it needs to get to.
So do you have to come out and make a blanket statement at some point to settle this thing down before the playoffs?
Not really. We talked at the beginning of the year and just said, you know, yeah. we did our media day here, and, you know, it was not unlike a year ago, you know, my year and a half, last year in training camp, Willie's contract was up. He was going into his last year, and we answer all the questions day one, and there's really nothing. We're not going to do play by play on it. Like I said, I get it. I trust me, I get the story, and we're not trying to be cute with our fan base. It's just, there's, you know, until there's something to report, there's nothing to report. Right. So you can't stop a story from going on, but we, you know, basically on day one, Darren, we said, listen, any questions, we'll talk as much as we can now. But after today, the focus is going to be on, you know, the team on the ice and playing and the games and all that sort of stuff. And the rest of it, there's not, you know, until there's an update, there's no update.
But you want them to be Maple Leafs next year, right?
Sorry?
You want them to be Maple Leafs next year.
Sure. Absolutely. I mean, they're terrific players, right? And I, you know, I've stood on I'll stand on the tallest mountain and say, listen, these are terrific players, terrific people. And we want them here but that's the update, right? Like, yeah. And we'll, you know, and really it's for, I don't mind answering the questions. There's enough for the players to worry about. You know, you're always trying to shield and protect your players. Like, their focus is, and like I said, I give them all the credit, because, you know, they've dug in, and like I said, they've been drivers for us all year.
What you were probably as happy to see the cap numbers go up the next 3 years. What does that do for your hockey club?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think number one, I think for all of us, it shows where the game's at, right? Like, the league has probably never been healthier. You know, this what we were talking about before, excuse me, the tournament, the buzz it's generated. So I think number one, it just shows the strength of the league right now, the healthiness of the league. But certainly, hey, as a manager, you're always happy where you've got a little bit more flexibility. So what does it do for us? It allows us a little more flexibility, John. Like, we just talked about, we've got, you know, Mitch's deal's up. We've got John's expiring. We've got two good players there. You're trying to make your team better. I think, you know, and it's obviously well documented here in Toronto. And I think, you know, everybody got affected by the pandemic, right? And every team. I was in Calgary. Everybody dealt with certain situations. I think Toronto had a unique circumstances where, you know, those guys had signed contracts, and then kind of the world stopped, right? And there was no cap growth, right? So although there's been some cap, you know, the cap's gone up a little bit here the last little bit. This is the first significant cap growth in, you know, since pre-pandemic, really. So
does it change your approach to the deadline?
Well, I don't know if it changes. Now you've got the information, so it allows you to plan better, right? So you're always kind of now in the past, I give the league and the PA a lot of credit for being able to, you know, not just say here's next year's number, but kind of give you a, I don't know if they're written in stone, but it gives you ability to plan. So if you are doing something at the deadline where you would kind of say, well, we kind of think that if the cap's going to be in and around here, you've got as close to certainty as you're going to get. So I don't know if it changes anything, but it does allow you, if you're going to say, okay, we'd like to bring in player X, you can play with your puzzle a little bit with more clarity than throwing darts to the board. So Brandon Pridham does it as well as anybody in the business here. So he's been a pretty happy guy here for the last 3 weeks or so since they announced that.
I bet.
Beyond being a couple of Western guys, how well did you know Craig before the season, and what's been most impressive about watching Berube run your hockey club?
You know what, Darren? I would say, other than just, you know, our teams playing against each other, and, you know, him and I got to visit a few things. You know, I had talked to Craig years ago, you know, when he was, I can't remember where he had left, but I was talking about assistant coaching position, I think it was. So we got to know each other. That was a number of years ago. So we spent some time together. And then actually when we were in the bubble in Edmonton, you know, you couldn't help but run into everybody, right? We were all there. So we'd be out in the yard there having a coffee every day. And so you catch up, and it's like everybody in the game, you kind of sort of know everybody, but you don't, some of them, you know, better than others. So I wouldn't say we had a real, like, we didn't know each other real well, other than some casual conversations. But just a really impressive guy, you know, really impressive guy. He's very black and white. There's no, you know, and when I say that, I mean that in a real positive way, especially for the players. I mean, the most important, you know, the most important people to receive a coach's message isn't me or anybody else. It's the players. And I think he makes things real. There's real clarity with Craig, what his expectations are. If you're meeting or not meeting them, he's going to talk to you about it. And I think there's just a real simplicity to it. And you know, I think the thing that goes really understated with Craig is his, you know, he's an inspirer, but I think his technical knowledge, his what he believes firmly in certain things that I also do that you need to do in order to have success. And I think there's, you know, from a technical side, the way he knows the game, he knows the players, you know, he knows the league. He knows the league really well. He watches it. He's, as they all do, but he's really impressed me. The ability to connect with players, his communication skills. You know, he's got a real strong presence to him. I've really enjoyed our time together, and a real good man. Like, you sit, obviously, you know, and everybody's got different relationships, but ours is close. We, you know, we spend a lot of time together away from the rink. And, you know, we'll go for meals and really, really have enjoyed not only the job that he's done, but just getting to know the person, a quality guy. And it was interesting, you know, when you go through this process, and you talk to a lot of people, I mean, I would say it's hard to find. I didn't find anybody that could speak an ill word of them, right? Everybody's, especially former players, that would talk about, you know, the impact he had with them, the directness, the honesty, the communication skills. And I see, you know, now I see it up close every day. So impressive guy.
Same can be said about John and I. I mean, you'd have to scour North America to find somebody to speak ill of us, Treat.
You would have to go coast to coast to coast.
Yeah.
Well, I'm
with you.
Well, maybe just one coast.
Actually, just between Skaha and Okanagan Lake.
Well, I was going to say, it's hard to be bad when one guy, you know, you got an Okanagan guy and a Brandon guy. I mean, come on.
Brad's the Brandon Okanagan connection. He's both guys.
That's right. That's right.
I keep telling John that we can't do an episode without there being like 2 degrees, more than 2 degrees separation with Brandon.
We've had more people from Manitoba on this show in the first month.
I was going to say, if this is a Mallard production, you've had more Wheat Kings on here than you can. You didn't know that was that many Wheat Kings. You didn't know what a Wheat King was, John, before you met
him. Okay? By the way, you just so you're prepared, there's going to be one more controversy for you as the playoffs start. Are you ready for it?
Okay. What's your starting goalie today?
Who's your starting goalie? Because you have two really good goalies, and now people are going to fight over Stallers versus Wall.
Well, it wouldn't be Toronto unless we had an argument about something, wouldn't it be? So
that's right.
You know, as I said earlier, like that, they've both been good, and I'll
fantastic.
And they've been our backbone here. So we got to get to the dance first, and we'll be happily. Once we're there, we'll happily figure out what they're going to do. But I think you know, they push each other. You hear about it all the time. Oh, they got a great relationship, and this one's actually true. They really do. They push each other. Both highly competitive guys, and you know, it's worked out. So touch wood. You know, we've got another 20 some odd games to go, and hopefully beyond. So. No, I can't speak highly enough about how they played for us.
We thank you for this extended conversation and wish you all the best as we get back into the National Hockey League. Fun watching. We'll see you in Vegas in a couple of weeks.
Sounds good. Good seeing you, lads.
There's a lot to go on the Toronto Maple Leafs side, but something that Brad said regarding the Four Nations faceoff, it's hard to stand out. That might be the best way to summarize all of these stars playing together and the shot volume being low and the buy-in to defensive hockey. It's hard to stand out.
Perhaps, you know, I think that at first blush, I think there's lots of people that are fans of the Maple Leafs are saying, well, Mitch isn't being Mitch, which was kind of my point in my conversation with Brad about, I think this is going to be a great learning curve for Mitch Marner. I think this might be helping Mitch Marner more than it helps most players that play in this tournament. Not to say that he's arrogant, but this is a humbling experience for him to know where he fits into Team Canada. And it might help him understand that and make him a better player. And I think that that's really important if you're a fan of the Toronto Maple Leafs.
It also can at times affect him because you take him out of a good situation and plug him in somewhere else to help you out.
Yeah. Well, we've all seen his versatility. Yeah. We've all seen what he can do. His power play, special teams, a penalty kill, a 5-on-5. He does everything so well. I mean, last year at one point I said he's the modern day Dave Keon, and he, in many ways, he is the modern day Dave Keon. But then you can't help but remember, that sight on the bench when the big three are sitting there and he's throwing his gloves on the back of the bench and the three of them are having an argument and basically was telling Mitch Marner to grow up. And so I do wonder if this can't help him be a better person for this hockey club. I think it's really important. By the way, you know, the Maple Leaf team is fascinating to me because for the longest time, it was always question marks on defense and question marks in goal. Now they've fixed the question marks in goal. Their defense with Ekman, Larson, and Tanev there is much better.
Yes.
And now we're talking about question marks as forwards.
Yeah.
Right?
I was looking at their cap going through their position by position, and you're exactly right. Goal, defense, it's really stable. And they've got some flexibility up front, which is
well, they need good. You know, they need to find another centerman, Darren. Brad wouldn't admit it, but they need to find another centerman, which would allow and hopefully a number two centerman, which would allow John Tavares to be in the number three slot, which is where John Tavares should be now. A lot of people won't agree with that, but
a couple of good centermen out there too.
Yeah, there should be. So it'll be fun to watch. He's such a good guy, Brad Treliving. Mm-hmm. He delivered pizza to my grandmother's house in Penticton.
Oh. Really?
Yeah. His dad, Jim Treliving, who was one of the co-founders of Boston Pizza, That was one of the first stores was in Penticton where they lived.
And Brad has worked his way up to the hockey.
By the way, do you know why it's called Boston Pizza?
No.
Jim Treliving was a diehard Boston Bruins fan.
Get out of here.
Nope. Can't make it up.
So that's why it's called Boston Pizza. It's a Canadian company, but it's called Boston Pizza. I always wondered that. That was not in my top five.
Hang around the podcast every once in a while. There's a nugget, you know?
Well, that's better than my trivia question that I had for you.
What was that one?
There's three former Wheat Kings as general managers in the National
League. Well, I know two for sure. No, I know three. Kevin, Kelly, and Brad. There you go. That's a new singing group in Western Canada. Kevin, Kelly, and Brad. So we're going to get the email. When am I on next? Okay, Kelly, I got the message.
Yeah, because we had Chevy.
I know. So we have to have, we have to figure that out.
Tell you what, when we get Krim on, you can ask most of the questions.
So maybe I'll just do the full interview myself anyway.
Yeah. I might just take a little arm's length viewpoint of that one.
We gotta go.
All right, John, that's been a lot of fun. Bonus episode. Look forward to being back with you very soon.
Right on.